Father, we want to thank you that again you have given us another opportunity to study your word. Holy Spirit, Lord Jehovah, you are the author of this word. Please help us to receive light. Changes by your revelation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Which is your lifestyle? What type of life are you living in? Genesis chapter 2, verse 6. God created man and put him in the garden. And he was right there, everything was found in the garden. The presence of God was there. And in the middle of the garden, in verse 9, God had pleasant trees put there. Brothers and sisters, if you do not understand the first three chapters of Genesis, you have not understood anything. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Every tree that was very pleasant was there, was good for food. And the tree of life was there in the middle of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we want to center and focus around these two trees and see with the help of the Lord Holy Spirit what is he speaking to us. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God commanded man, verse 16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Watch that word, freely. He didn't say you may eat. By all means, yes, surely you can eat. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And again, he never said die, but you'll surely die. Which actually the Hebrew says, in dying you shall die. In other words, death will begin and you will eventually die. That's exactly what happened. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. I'm just believing that you have read these chapters over and over and you know the story. You know, the devil came not to the man but to the woman and deceived her, made her to eat the fruit which God forbidden. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. Please look at me. When Eve ate the fruit, nothing happened to her. Death never touched her until Adam ate the fruit. Then the eyes were opened and death came in. Why is that? Man is the glory of God. Woman is the glory of man. So until sin, death touched man, Eve never experienced anything. When Adam ate, then their eyes were opened. Who ate first? Eve. Nothing happened.
Did you see that? Or maybe you didn't watch that one. Yeah.
Now, verse 24, God comes and drives man away from the Garden of Eden. Eden means our happiness, you know. So he drove him out, the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. It's interesting. God guarded every way so that no man can have any access to the tree of life. For man is a sinner. He has received the nature of Satan, deceived him, Eve. Man rebelled against God's word and he gave in to the voice of his wife, whom God gave, maybe to preserve her or preserve his marriage, rejecting God's word, going independent. That is the sin of the humanity. Not fornication, adultery, but the sin of independence. Now the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil speaks to us many things. You should know this. And I believe the Holy Spirit will help us to receive revelation. What lifestyle I am living right now. The tree of life is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve never partook of that tree. But the tree of knowledge is our own life. Our soul. The tree of life is an independent life. Excuse me, is a dependent life on the Lord Jesus Christ. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is an independent life depending on ourself, on our soul. The tree of life, since it's the type of the Lord Jesus, gives forth life. He is life. It's giving, life-giving. But the tree of the knowledge is always receiving. It had to receive from somewhere. If it misses God, it's going to receive from the devil. There is nothing in between. Our soul is capable of receiving. It cannot give. The tree of life is the life dependent on God, so it is the life ordained by God for humanity. Joining with God to rule this earth. In fact, the redeemed shall rule and reign with Jesus Christ throughout eternity. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a false life. It is not actually life. It is negative. It is death. The very essence of Satan, which is death. The tree of life produces life. The tree of knowledge produces death. Now we know that through rebellion, Adam rebelled, and so death, sin came in, and death came in because of sin. Death started to work and it finally caught up with Adam and Eve after many years. Maybe after 900 years. Nowadays, the time has been shortened by God. 70, 80, 90. Man, through rebellion, received the nature of the devil. And his lifestyle became the lifestyle of the devil. For he obeyed him. So he starts living by his own soul, by his own will, for himself. In Genesis chapter 6 verse 5, we see God saying that the thoughts and imaginations of man was all the time evil. So God decided to destroy man. Now, we want to now say, let's say the tree of life is the type of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's pure, it's giving forth life. And the tree of the knowledge is the type of the life of Satan. It is death over there. And the moment we take part in it, death comes in and we begin to receive the lifestyle of Satan, which is self-centered, self-exalted, self-motivated, self-promoted. Isaiah, so see, how many of you know the scripture in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks, so is he? So a man thinks, we will see what the mind of the devil is. So we will see his lifestyle. There are only two lifestyles. One is our Lord Jesus Christ. The other one is Satan. The angel Lucifer, who became Satan through pride and rebellion. Isaiah chapter 14. I'm telling you, if you listen prayerfully, you young people, you could be born again right here. You may think that you are born again. You may think that whatever. But then when suddenly hits you, when light comes in, and you will say, oh, I never knew that I was a sinner. Chapter 14, verse 12, Isaiah. Talking of Satan now, he had his name as Lucifer. Lucifer. Day star. It means day star. Can you see that? How are you falling from heaven? You are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depth of the pit. When you analyze that, I think there are five I wills. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Self-centered life. Pride came within him. Ezekiel 28 chapter says, God created him perfect. The greatest musician in the universe. Musical instruments were created and given to him. Pride came within him because of beauty. Probably one day he thought within his heart, I will make a good God. I've got all these angels, millions of angels under me, just like Michael and Gabriel. So why not I start up my own kingdom? He thought within his heart. Because the Holy Spirit, Lord Jehovah writes, you said in your heart. My brothers and sisters, in the final sentence we read, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol. We do not know from the time Satan thought about this in his heart and started his gossiping to the other angels and convincing them, persuading them to agree with him to go against God. We do not know how many years that took place and God gave him. whether 100 or 1,000 or 15, we don't know. But the day came, the Lord chased him out from the place where he was. He lost his position, lost everything. One third of the angels fell with him. What is the lesson over here? Friend, listen carefully. There are certain things that we can go on in our hearts. Pastor may not know, your parents may not know, husband, your wife may not know, or wife, your husband may not know, your friends may, nobody. And you keep that in your heart and you think nobody knows this. And God can let you go just like Satan for a couple of years, couple of months, maybe even 5 years, maybe 10 years. But one day when you're caught by that sin, you will find out God knew it the first day. We will find out that he knew on the very first day that this thought came inside. So it is useless to hide anything in our hearts because God has seen it even before it came. That's a warning lesson for us. Now, so Satan, by the way, Satan has no salvation. Some people, I think they believe on that. There is no reconciliation for them. They are eternally damned. No one pushed Satan to sin. No one tempted him. Lucifer. He himself, he thought and he went against God. The lifestyle of Satan is self-exaltation. Exalting, I will go rise high. I will be like the Most High. I am going to put my throne. He had a throne above him. And I will do this, I will do that. Can you see that? All self. That's his lifestyle. Self-centered, self-promotion. In the garden, Satan lied to Eve and then said, you shall be as gods. Now, he tried to be like God and then he failed. And he is now deceiving Eve. You shall be as gods. They were already created in the image of God. Already God created Adam and Eve in his image. But now he is lying to them and said, you shall be as you. Satan focused man on himself, not on God. He made them to focus on their own life. You can be like him. The same old story. And Satan, now what he does is, he continues to attack us, makes us to watch the circumstances, and induces us to focus on ourselves. All the time. Things of man and not things of God. Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. Are you listening? Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. The devil, Satan, the fallen angel, Lucifer, who has the name Satan, accuser, spoke to Jesus one-to-one directly in the wilderness. He spoke and Jesus spoke and he spoke and Jesus spoke and he spoke and Jesus spoke. It is written, Jesus spoke the word of God, right? You all know that, Matthew chapter 4. Here, Satan uses other people's mouth using their soul. The soul, Peter's soul came under the attack of Satan. It became a medium for Satan. And Jesus is not talking to Peter. He's telling, get thee behind me, Satan. The same words he's used over there in Matthew chapter 4 when he was talking to Satan directly. Jesus immediately knew the devil was speaking through Peter. Get thee behind me. You are an offense to me. You are keeping a trap for me. You cannot. Offense is a bait, a trap. Peter was saying, Lord, no, no, no. You got to. We need to take care of you. No, you cannot go there. You can't die that way. It's no, you're a great preacher. You're a prophet. And you have come to set up the kingdom. No, don't do this. Don't go there. They're going to kill you. Focusing on self, focusing on our interest and future. You are an offense to me, Jesus, therefore you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Mindful means your mind is full of. Your mind is full of the things of man. All the time you're talking about the things of man. You take anybody, nowadays you sit and talk with them about things, and they talk about that, talk about this, talk about their life, talk about their aunt, talk about their child, talk about da 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 da. Always talking about this life and the people. That's satanic. Their mind is full of the things of man and not the things of God. You know, you can check up. You check up with the thermometer what your lifestyle is now. Is your mind is full of the things of God? Or your mind is full of the things of man? What a man thinks, so is he. There you go. Proverbs 23:7. The devil is always self-minded. Self-promotion. Self-pity. Self-defense. Me, I, my life, my whatever. I can't. She said that. He said that. No, no. It's nothing to do with me. So he deceives man. Peter got deceived. He got the bait and then he started to talk. And that stopped Jesus from going to Jerusalem according to the will of God. Are you listening to me? So he... Even today, he induces to think about only our things, our future, our things, our job, our family, my money, whatever, my car, what am I going to do, what is going to happen, who will give me this. You see, Judas was with Jesus. He became so self-centered in Matthew 27. You know, Jesus went to the Pharisees and they asked him, what will you give me if I betray him? What will you give me? Me? What am I going to get? People go to churches just to get something. If the song is nice, the preaching is nice, whatever, the pews are good, and you know, it's nice looking, chandeliers and all that. They just, it's just nothing but the smell of self. Churches are full of people with self-centeredness. So, Jesus immediately says in verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. There you go. No prophet spoke like Jesus. He will use the word and take the hammer and hammer it right on the head of the nail. He never gave a sermon. He said, when Peter has said this, he immediately turned to the disciples and said, do you all want to come after me? Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Come after me. Take up the cross and come after me. Very shocking, right? And follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? See, soul, self, everything is the same. Your soul is yourself. Yourself is your soul, your mind, your emotions, and your will. You know, people will just leave a church whom they have been there for quite a long time, over just one word the pastor has said, or just one word his wife has said, or something to do, that lady doesn't look at me, this person, you know, giving me a hard look, so I'm leaving. What is that? Too much of self. If you go to a funeral parlor and then you ignore that person inside that casket, right? Is he going to get worried? You know it anyway. Anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up the cross. Devil is not absolutely disturbed. He is not at all worried about people going behind Jesus, except they don't have crosses in their hands. I am not talking about any wooden cross or cross that you wear in your earrings or in your necklace or whatever. No, no. The crucified life. Satan wants to, if he sees you with a cross, let me say he backs off. He will back off. Oh my God. There is power here. Let me not meddle with this person. But if he doesn't see the cross, a crucified life, he will want to come and use our soul as a medium. Yeah, know it for today. Philippians 2:21. Look at the church and how their lifestyle is. What is your lifestyle? Don't think about other person who's next, seated next to you. What is your lifestyle? We are now going through the lifestyle of the devil. 2:21. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. It is very staggering that in this Philippian church, except Timothy, everyone was self-centered. Can you see what the plight would have been? The devil would have been the Lord inside that church. He is the Lord over everyone, those who are self-centered, self-motivated. You can praise and say hallelujah and say the right spiritual languages and everything, but let anything happen to you. Let somebody ignore you. Let some offense come to you. Now you're going to watch it now. You're going to watch how you're going to defend yourself. Or you back off and say, I'm not going to have to do anything with them. I am not this. No, they are not like this. They are not. They cannot do this. Oh, well, they are not spiritual like me. We don't give them time to grow. We do not know even where they come from. What kind of storm that they have passed. What kind of childhood days that they had. Whether they received the love of the father or even the love of the mother. What kind of pain they're still carrying. They're hopping from church to church without their wounds being healed. Just like in Jeremiah, they say, the Lord was so angry with those pastors that said, you just healed my people just slightly. When there was a wound inside, you said everything is peace, peace, peace. You healed them just by just mere words. That was not healing. So look at this, the lifestyle of these people. There are many. You see, the lifestyle of this world is the lifestyle of the devil. Let it be their good people, whatever. It is self-motivated, self-promoted, self-centered lives. Isaiah 53:6 shows us the reason why Jesus had to die for us. This is the sin. Not sins, sin. Singular. But he was 53:6, excuse me. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Whose way? So that means going to our own self. We have turned everyone to his own way. I will do this. I think like this. I believe this. And I go and do this. I. Independence. That's exactly what Adam did. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 17 onwards. See, many times we should meditate on these scriptures and know exactly what had happened. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk in the test as the rest of the Gentiles walk. How walk means live. How is the whole world is living? What is their lifestyle? Whether it be Buddhists or some religious people or Hindus or Muslims or even Christians. Not born again. Or sometimes even born again in spirit will. We will come to that. What type of lifestyle? Paul says through the Holy Spirit, don't live like them. How are they living? In the futility of their mind. Can you see all kinds of corruption in their mind? Because there is no life of God. They are out from the life of God. They are cut away from a tree of life. They are not born again. They're following some commandments, some religious traditions. They live according to the futility, corruption of their mind, having their understanding darkened. Can you see that? Understanding me, their thoughts and their minds and everything is darkened. There is darkness. That's why God says, don't you ever go and have company with those people and just live and learn their ways. Do not be conformed to the lifestyle of this world, of these people. That's why he says that, to protect us. That's why he says, don't go and get married to a person who's not born again. I'm not going deep into this. Some of you say, then how do I know that? You should know it. And God will let you know that. He's not going to deceive us, his sincere children. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Can you see they're cut off from the life of God? Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, their soul, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, the anointed one, in that way. So the whole world, they walk according to what their mind thinks, according to their emotions, according to all the whatever the judgments are wrong, their thoughts are wrong. Most of the time, whatever that they are doing is wrong. They are in a different lifestyle. They have the Lord as Satan. They do not know. And even if you tell them, they will not accept it, for they have no revelation. They are self-motivated. They live by their soul and their body. You see the advertisements on all this TV. What is it? What are they saying all the time? Advertisements for the body, right? It's not for the body. What you can wear, what you can put, what you can, whatever, make you that, make you this. It's nothing for the spirit and soul. Oh God, the devilish people, the psychic people, that they have something over there on the TV that should come to us. And through demons and all kinds of things that they want to trap your soul. Just one click. And then you go into it, you had it. So it's they live an independent life because their life, there is no life of God within them. They live by their soul. So God says, don't live like them. Don't be independent. Don't go by your thoughts. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. You see their lifestyle. And you he had made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Walked means lived. Before you came to know the Lord, or you really got born again, that you are living like the world, according to the course of the world. Can you see that? According to this present age, which is evil. Galatians 1:4 says, Jesus Christ came in order to deliver us from this present evil age. So we once lived according to this present evil age, accordance with our soul, whatever. Watch this. Because of this, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, the demon spirits have been guiding our emotions, our thoughts, and finally getting hold of our wills. That's the way we were led. The whole world, whether they like it or not, know it or not, they are led by demon spirits. Their soul becomes a medium for the devil. Devil kills them through many things. It deceives them through food, deceives them all kinds of things, through materialism, deceives them through words. He speaks to them. There's no use. There's nobody cares for you. What's the use of living? Come on. You have lived enough. Just finish up your life. So they jump. How many jump from here in this country, in Canada, from buildings? And how many take poison? They just even jump on just the highway. Hearing the voice of the devil. Don't wait, don't wait, don't wait. This scripture very clearly says our lives were guided and driven by demon spirits before we came to know the Lord. What about now? When anybody begins to live by their own self, own thoughts, circumstances, what you feel, and get advice from here and there, you are a very good candidate for deception. Demons will come and they show you something good to get you off the track of God. Oh, he's well learned, even these 2,000 years attacking the church through deception. He will show you something good which is not God's best. The devil is the ruler of this social order. John 12:31. The ruler of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me, Jesus said. That means he cannot find his lifestyle in me. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. But the devil said, I will. Can you see the contrast? Behold, I come. In your book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Hebrews chapter 10. But the devil wanted to do his own will. That's the lifestyle many follow. What about you? Now, as you listen to this cassette, I don't care where you are, what church you belong to, what family you are, and whatever things that you have credentials, I don't care. What is your lifestyle? Is matching the Lord Jesus Christ? Crucified life, or self-centered, self-motivated, living by your mind and your emotions, motivated by what you think is right, and you want to do something for the Lord and not what God wants you to do. Do you know that you can do something for the Lord and then cast out demons in a place where God does not want you? And you can spend 5 years there. God is not going to force you. And afterwards you ask him and say, I never called you here. Never. Chapter 16, verse 11 also says that. Devil lose the lifestyle, self-centered lifestyle of the whole world through deception. Revelations 12:9. That says the social order, deceiver of the whole world is a social order, the life pattern. What is the life pattern? Self-centeredness. Walking by your thoughts. Oh, I'm just waiting, Pastor. I'm just thinking, oh, I am just debating. What are you debating with? A demon? What is the debate that is going on in your mind? Have you surrendered your life completely? We just sang just now. All what we are, all what we have, all that we hope to be, we give to you. And the Lord says, is that right, my child? I wonder why. Have you realized why Jesus, the Holy Spirit, wrote through Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses from 3 to 5, that we need to take captive every thought? In other words, don't you touch the fruit and eat it like Eve. Don't you take that fruit and put it inside your mouth and later ask me, I thought this thought was from you. It was one fruit that was given to Judas. In John chapter 13, the devil put the thought inside the heart of Judas to betray Jesus. And he took it and he ate it and he went in front of the Pharisees, the chief priests, and then got that money to betray Jesus. All what he took was how many thoughts? One thought. So God says, don't touch. Take that fruit and put it inside your mouth. Take that thought and analyze it with the word of God. Go through the principles of God. Don't just take one scripture and then go on your way and say, God has spoken to me. No. No. If that was so, Jesus would have jumped from over there. Because it was written already that angels will hold him up. He may not break his legs. No. What is the principle of God? Is this God? Does this sound like Jesus? Would Jesus do this? We need to get closer. When we are closer to somebody who is our friend, and somebody comes and tells us he did this, we don't believe, right? No. No, that's not him. No. No, no, I am not going to. I got to speak anyway. But I'm not going to take this whatever that you have told me. Why? We know them personally. So unless we know, get closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit, we're not going to know what is right. We go by right and wrong, just like Eve. We eat all the time from our soul, the knowledge tree. God says, you are not living by that. You are living by the Spirit I have called you. Those who live by the soul will end up in corruption and death. Those who live by the Spirit, depending on the Holy Spirit and the word of the Lord, they will reap life and peace. Romans chapter 8. So which tree is your life? Which is your life? Now let's see the mind and the lifestyle of Jesus. What is the mind of Christ? Philippians chapter 2. We saw the mind of the devil so that we can know the lifestyle. Now let's see what the mind of Jesus Christ is. Let this mind, verse 5, Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in the anointed Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now just imagine and think how opposite this is to Isaiah 14, 12 said about Lucifer. He wanted to be equal and more above God. Now Jesus was God and he's God, equal with God, but he did not want to hold on to that position when the Trinity, the triune God, planned on this redemption for humanity. Jesus said, okay, Father, I will go. I will go and redeem man. I will do your will, Father. Opposite to the lifestyle of Satan. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So God says, let this mind also be in you. In other words, he's saying, let this lifestyle be yours. Because so man thinks, so is he. who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, a slave, and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and even him the name which is above every name, given him a name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Please look at me. Even though Jesus Christ was God eternally, he was there, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He was an eternal Son. But he forsook all that in order to come to the earth to redeem man and give his precious blood, blameless sacrifice. God the Father exalted him to a higher position above every name, not because he was God with him before or he was the eternal Son of God. No. Get it off your heart. He was exalted only for one reason. Do you see that word therefore? Because he humbled himself. Therefore, he was exalted. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, Peter said, that he may exalt you in due time. Jesus exalted to a very high position because of only one reason. What was it? Because he humbled himself. Not because he was the Son of God and then he came down from heaven. No. Only for one reason. He humbled himself. The same thing is going to be true for you and me. He who humbles himself shall be exalted. He who exalts himself, who is that? The devil and those who follow him. They shall be humbled. In fact, they will be humiliated. Pushed out. Can you see? So God says, let this mind be in you. In other words, he says, let this lifestyle be in you. Don't follow the devil. The whole world is following him, self-centered. Every time we argue, every time we defend ourselves, we are hopping into that lifestyle of Satan. Jesus never defended himself. He committed his soul to the one who sent him. Oh yes. He was God. He did not hold equal with God. He humbled himself to obedience even to the death. Even on the cross, the devil told Jesus through people, come down from the cross, then we will believe you. Did he have the power? Yeah. He had. But he never came down. Why? To fulfill the will of God. Never came down. The devil wants us to live a life without the cross. Because if we take up the cross, a crucified life, not a defending ourselves, Satan cannot overthrow us. He cannot overcome us. Self-defense will give power to the devil. Self-sacrifice will overcome the devil. Now you know why Jesus telling everyone, those who followed him, he will turn back and say, anybody want desires to come after me? They're all looking what he's going to say. Let him deny himself. Satan exalted himself. Deny yourself. Deny this life. Take up the cross. Never follow the Lord without the cross. Never follow him without crucified self. Never go to the mission field without death to self. Never lay hands on somebody. Go and lay hands on somebody with your pride without crucifying yourself. You tell the Lord at the feet, Lord, I'm nothing. I don't know. Please help me. I don't know how to even to pray. Please, And God will arrange circumstances to bring ourselves to death. You cannot crucify yourself. God will take that job. Don't you worry. Jesus did not crucify himself. Others crucified him, right? So when others come, what do? We snatch the hammer from their hands and then try to crucify them. Isn't that right? Yeah, we may laugh. That's the lifestyle that we live. We tell, go and tell everybody, did you hear? I mean, that's not right. What do you think? How can anybody tolerate that one? I couldn't bear, so I blurted out. And I just came, slammed him on his face. So I know God will forgive me. We say all kinds of things to protect ourselves. I know people in the churches, they will never come and say what's wrong with them. Some are very open. Others are going, pray. Come and stand like a statue. Because the pastor knows everything from A to Z. He's God. They won't say anything. They'll never open their hearts. Never. Why? If I tell my weakness, pastor will know it. And then he will look at me like that. Self-protection. A beautiful medium for the devil, your soul. So every time now Jesus says, people are just following him, and then he said, always, you know, Matthew says that, Mark says that, Luke says that. Matthew chapter 16, we read already, deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me. But look at Luke, what he says. The Holy Spirit adds one more word, Luke 9:23. I mean, if you take this message again, just like any other Sundays, and just come another Sunday, let me tell you. You just, Luke 9:23, he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, never said anything about the church, let him deny himself, that we have to do, God will not do that, and take up the cross daily and follow me. How many days we have the cross? We know that there are certain days we don't have the cross, isn't it? We want to take a revenge. Why are you? No, I'm just a, no, nothing is right. But we know that we are without the cross and the devil has taken over. How beautiful words Jesus said. It is not enough to deny the self. Take up the cross, which means give yourself for crucifixion. I'm preaching this message as if I'm perfected. Far from it. No one is perfected like Jesus he was. But he could just answer them just soft and nice. And you know, sometimes even Jesus gives very hard words, you brood of vipers. But he never defended himself. They said, you have a demon, my Lord. And he just kept. He says, okay, how can I have a demon? And can't Satan cast out Satan? He answered very calmly. Today, many are enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:18. They want Jesus, his life, his abundance, prosperity, everything, guidance. Lord Jesus, stay in the middle of my family. Please, don't leave me. Hold my hands, my head, everything. Come with me in my car. When I fly, stay next to me. Oh Lord, hold the plane. Let there be no more, not many turbulence. See? Philippians 3:18, have you taken it? I'm just finishing. Another 2 minutes, probably, before I get a signal. 3:18, have you? For many live of, it says walk, whom I have told you often. And Paul was telling this often. Can you see that? He's been saying this often. Oh, Paul, why are you writing now? I have told you often, Now I tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Can you see that? So there are so many Christians in churches today, they are living their soul self life. There is no crucified life. And therefore there are lots of contentions, strives, bad looks, and just put-ups and makeups and all kinds of things. The face, and then inside, you know, masks. I think the Christians are very specialized people, I would say, in wearing masks. We have learned it well. I don't know who will take this mask off. See, many Christians today, so-called believers, they cannot take up the cross. They cannot put down their life. They cannot give a little bit mercy. Well, let me say, why? Why this child is talking this way? Why this person behaves this way? Wait a minute. Jump up and judge. Listen to me. When we go this way, by the way, the Holy Spirit said that in the last days, now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses from 1 to 5, the whole list of people with a terrible, terrible character flaw, starting from lovers of themselves. These are believers, God's children, unthankful, unholy, ungrateful. Do you come across these people? Oh, dear Lord. Unholy, unthankful, traitors, covenant breakers. A list of those people. And then finally, the Holy Spirit says to Timothy, from such, turn away. Self-centered, self-motivated, self-protective people, from such, turn away. Don't hate them, but don't hang around with them. Turn away means, it doesn't say to just ignore them, but then just don't hang around and then just talk like them, because that lifestyle is going to come upon you. The more you mix up with them. That's right. See? The Lord said, you know, in Hebrews chapter 13, you remember, I think many of you quote this scripture, I shall neither leave you nor forsake you. Oh, God said to Moses, and that promise is for us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How many of you believe that? But let me say something about the Lord. He won't forsake you. He won't leave you. But that he won't bother you. What is it, Pastor? I mean, when you go on your own will and you want to do your own thing, you're only worried about yourself, God is not going to come and then push you and then just pinch you and say, what are you trying to do? And then, you know, force you. No, he'll never force you. The Holy Spirit will never force you. As I finish, let me say this. If at all you want a prayer, it just came in my heart, I will tell you what to pray all the time. Lord, whatever it may be, whatever it may cost me, don't allow me, Lord, to my own thoughts, my own will. Don't give up on me, Lord. Rule and overrule me. Rule and overrule. Don't just give up on me. So what kind of lifestyle you have? What kind of lifestyle you have chosen? Are you crucified with Christ? Let this mind be in you. Jesus came down, 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 down. He never had proper places to sleep. One fellow asked me, I want to follow you. And he said, foxes have holes. Son of man has no place to lay his head. What are you expecting, even whether you go to any conference or any church or anything like that? What did you expect today? Can you put yourself down and be a blessing for somebody? Hug someone. Or if you love them too much, go to them, get them inside a room and rebuke them. Hey, I watched you. What's happening to you? True love rebukes openly. So check up the life. There are only two lifestyles. One is Satan's self-centered. The other one is the Lord's self-crucified. If anyone desires to come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Keep this in your heart. Go through this. God wants to use many. You cannot go into the mission field, have yourself on the throne. Speaking some spiritual languages, you will be overpowered by the demons. But when you are crucified inside, the anointing will rise up from within you. And when the demon says, I will harm you tonight, and you will say, you devil, come out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we want to thank you for your word. Let these words remain with your children and bring forth life and fruit in Jesus' name. Amen.